see some of you again and others for the first time.
All right. Are we, you guys all good? You see everything okay? Hear everything okay?
I think we're great. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure you guys have better tech than we do because we get to see the whole stage and you just get to see my face. But as long as things are good, then let's, I haven't given my church a heads up on why we're doing this, Chris.
Okay. So, well, do you want to fill them in? You want to start there?
Sure, I'll start. So I'm Keith, if you don't know me, and half of you do and half of you don't probably, and a few of you at Millersville do. But I'm the pastor of LifePath Church. We are a young church in Newark, Delaware, and we're a part of the family of churches within the Brethren in Christ. And years ago, I'll tell the story a little bit more, but years ago, we were able to get started in part by the witness and the encouragement of Millersville. And so now that the years have kind of come and gone, we wanted to spend some time leaning into that story and what God's done in the midst of it.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Introduce yourself a little bit to us, Chris.
Yep. Yeah, I'm Chris Free. And I came to Millersville almost 5 years ago, and the relationship with LifePath had already started under the church and the leadership of Pastor Michael, who was the pastor at that time. And so I came into kind of this already existing relationship, and it has just been a privilege to just kind of come in and pick up on what had already been started, and just to kind of come in and participate in what God had already been doing, and to just meet with Keith at certain events and hear the stories about LifePath. And I know that there have been times where our church had gone down to partner with special outreach events. I think some of those videos can actually be seen on our church's Facebook page.
Nice.
And so there's been some partnership along the way, and it's been really neat to witness it and to be a part of that.
Can I tell a little bit more about that story then?
Yeah, go ahead, Keith.
All right. So my wife Bethany and I, and this is new to some of you in my congregation here at LifePath too. So my wife Bethany and I spent 6 years in pastoral ministry in right outside of Millersville, Pennsylvania, which is where Millersville, BIC, is located. And we only lived about 5 minutes from your building. And I was a youth pastor there. But over the years, as we sensed a call to initiate and be a part of leading a different kind of church expression, we began to kind of dream about that. And I had a friendship with the former pastor at Millersville. And I have notes all the way back from 2011. We had lived in Delaware for 9 days, and I came back and traveled to your church, and we spent time sharing about the story of the vision. And I looked back at those notes, and I was as green as a tomato leaf with what we were talking about doing and our vision, and it was exciting, and we've learned and changed so much during that time. But one of the things that I thought was funny was that one of the things that I mentioned is, as a means of continuing to build community and connect with other people in the kingdom's in the kingdom way, one of our practices already in those first 2 weeks was to have dinner out on a picnic blanket in our front yard in our suburban neighborhood to meet people that were walking to our local park and everything. And I chuckled at that because we did that 2 nights ago again. And so that has been a practice that we've continued for 7 years. And I remember having conversations with some of the Millersville community about what it looked like to creatively engage the world around us in loving, surprising, beautiful, friendly ways that reveal Jesus. But as we started to share, we sensed that Millersville had this amazing support and hospitality about them. In terms of ethos, we were surprised to see that there was another church that really matched our ethos. And through that time, Millersville offered and said, hey, we would love to financially help you guys get off of the ground, because we know that that's a major issue for young churches, is to be sustainable. And so for 3 years, those finances really helped as both an encouragement and as a kind of a teaching tool for us to be connected to the body in a better way. But as we went through that, that actually expanded into what you mentioned, Chris, into these activities of Millersville coming down at least 2 or 3 times. I think it was 2 years for sure, of helping us put on a summer carnival. And so we put on this big carnival for kids that was all free, and we didn't actually have enough people to do it. And so we told Millersville that, and they said, can we come down and help, and we'll make carnival games? And so we were incomplete. And you, what's the phrase in Jerry Maguire, like, you complete me? And so you completed us as a community during those times where in many ways we were incomplete. And so the final part of that is that in a letter to Millersville, I mentioned how excited we were 2 years ago, a little more than 2 years ago, about actually having a two-year plan to be an independent church, to actually meet our costs, and that they had helped us get to that point. And Millersville actually came back to us, I think it was you, Chris, that wrote me an email, and said, hey, we are so excited that you have a real plan in place. Can we continue to help you get there for two more years? And so I think you guys have given about $25,000 to us over the last 5 years, and that's just staggering, and it's beautiful, and it's allowed us to do things. So now that season has come to a conclusion, Chris, you and I felt like it was appropriate to look back and remember God at work, and what that means maybe on a larger biblical level. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that great rundown of the history, Keith. And I know there are people here, even at Millersville, who aren't fully aware of that history. So it's great to be reminded of that story. And so it's in light of that, that's where we want to focus. As Keith just said, we want to really just use this as an opportunity together between our two churches to just take a moment and remember and celebrate God's faithfulness. And a verse that comes to my mind as we think about celebrating God's faithfulness is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And these two verses, which is actually a kind of a doxology or a benediction at the end of Paul's letter of 1 Thessalonians, he writes, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then there's verse 24 at the end here, and this is what I want to emphasize. Paul writes, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." And so in light of God's faithfulness, which we have seen and heard on display through the story that Keith has shared with us, but also through what we witness and what LifePath actually lives day to day, there are just a couple reminders that we want to point out here. And the first one is just simple. It's so simple that sometimes we may forget it, but it's just that simple fact that God is faithful. God is faithful. And we can and we should celebrate his faithfulness as often as we can. I forget who said it, but somebody once said, joy begets more joy. Celebration begets more celebration. And God's faithfulness is worth celebrating. And this is, I believe, a major theme throughout the Scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament. We see it, for example, in the calling of Abraham. God calls Abraham to a place where Abraham doesn't even know where he is going. And if we read that story in Genesis, we see that Abraham makes mistakes along the way. There are even moments where Abraham seems to be unfaithful. But even in the midst of Abraham's story, God is faithful. And then there's Moses in the early chapters of Exodus, who, when God calls him to go back to Egypt, Moses is demonstrating a heart that we might be able to say is kind of wrestling with unfaithfulness. He doesn't want to go. He's trying to make many excuses in order for God to choose somebody else. But even in the midst of Moses and his fear and unfaithfulness, God proves to be faithful. And then, of course, there's the long story of Israel in the wilderness. And we could recount how many times they want to go back to Egypt and they begin to grumble and complain. But even in the midst of that, God is faithful. And then, of course, there's Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior, who was so faithful that he willingly went to the cross on our behalf, a picture of the faithfulness and love of our Heavenly Father. And that brings it to us, the church. The story that we are celebrating today, the relationship, the partnership for the greater kingdom good in the name of Jesus between LifePath and Millersville is a picture, a reminder worth celebrating of the faithfulness of God. So God is faithful. We can and we should celebrate his faithfulness. And I want to just remind us that whatever God calls us to, we would do well to remember that He is faithful to see us through, that He is the one who is faithful to what He has called us to do. And this relationship we celebrate today is a picture of that. So Keith, why don't you take it from there?
Yeah, and the reality of how God's faithfulness works, I think, is more beautiful than we often allow for, and more broad than we often allow for. There's a passage in Philippians 1, and Paul is encouraging the church. And remember, when Paul writes, so here's what he writes in Philippians 1, 4 through 6. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. You have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard about it until now. And I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will carry it on and continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. We tend to read the Bible in a very individualistic way. It's the nature of our culture. It's natural. But here's the thing. We don't have language. If we were in the South or even in Pittsburgh, with yin, y'all, and I guess I'm going to make fun of you in Lancaster because I lived there for a while, but the whole you guys in Lancaster, that would be more helpful of a translation, because Paul is writing to a church. He's not writing to a bunch of individuals. He's writing to the church in Philippi. So he says, I am certain that God, who began a good work within y'all, within yins, all right, is going to continue and finish that good work. And so he's talking about a church that is being built and formed. And the way that God tends to bring things to completion with God's faithfulness is not independent of other human beings. We often look at this so individualistically that we forget that the way God often builds the church is by using the church. And so God's we have, I think, a false dichotomy that we often play around with, where was this God being faithful, or was it just someone doing something Christian? Right? My neighbor, like, wanted to pray for me. Is that God's faithfulness because I was struggling, or is that person just doing what they're supposed to do as a Jesus follower and being obedient? The answer is yes. And I don't think that we sometimes allow for that that both and. We are the body of Christ. And so we create this unnecessary separation sometimes between God's faithfulness and the church doing what the church is called to do. When the church acts as the body of Christ, it becomes and embodies the faithfulness of God. So therefore, we can look at Millersville and say, well, you know, we look back at God's faithfulness, and Millersville is a huge part of God's faithfulness over the years. Now, was that God being faithful, or was that you all doing what God has invited the body to do and participate in building up the church? Yeah, it's both. And so I think when we think about God's faithfulness, we need to understand that we have the privilege of both being recipients of that faithfulness and being agents of that faithfulness in other people's lives, in the lives of the broader church. LifePath wouldn't have started if a number of people hadn't grown up in other churches, right, and experienced that faithfulness. So that stuff is big. And the psalm, we'll just hit on it briefly, 145, talks about how one generation is going to proclaim your works to another and declare your mighty deeds. And that ends, the Psalm 145, 5 and 6 says, they speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. So the church does one thing, but it has this impact that changes the person as they're listening. So they're proclaiming, and then all of a sudden, I'm meditating on your wonderful works because the church is faithful. And so that stuff is just beautiful. Finally, just one more example. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul's writing about the Macedonians to the Corinth, to the church in Corinth, and he speaks about this when he's bragging on their generosity, and he's encouraging the Corinthian church to act on their generosity as well. So he's saying the Macedonians have provided such a great example of this. Join in so that you can experience the goodness too. And he says, our desire, this is 2 Corinthians 8:13, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you're hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. God has given His church the resources to sustain the church, both in spiritual and physical ways, but the problem is often distribution. And so one of the jobs of the church is to say, where are we strong where others might be weak? Where are we in abundance where others might be experiencing scarcity? And we become obedient to that, and we become agents of God's faithfulness as the church. And it's incredibly beautiful. So, we do this by learning the rhythms and the heart of God and enacting it, right? It's all because of what God's doing in us first, right, Chris?
Yep. And just piggybacking on that, just a reminder to us that we can be faithful because God is faithful. I love how Keith pointed that out, that God is faithful, but we as His people are also called to be faithful. God not only works through us, but let us never forget that He is in us, and He is a faithful God, so we can be His faithful people. And I think one of the places in Scripture we see this is in a parable that Jesus teaches. We know it as the parable of the talents, or your Bible may call it the parable of the bags of gold. But regardless of your translation there, in Matthew 25, verse 21, Jesus says to one of the faithful servants who received the talent or received the bags of gold, and put it to work for the sake of the kingdom. Put it to work for the sake of their king. And Jesus then gives these words. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And then I love this part, because it's a celebration. It's celebration language. And that's what we're doing today. He says, "Come and share your master's happiness." Come and share your master's happiness. Celebration is a spiritual discipline. And that was something that I know for me, I don't know if you think of celebration as a spiritual discipline. When I think of the spiritual disciplines, I tend to think of fasting and praying and journaling and meditation and silence. But celebration is also a spiritual discipline. And I find it fascinating that if you read leadership books or books on social dynamics, they will tell us that our attitudes and our behaviors are contagious. Almost like spreading like a virus, like a sneeze. We sneeze and the germs go out. The same thing is kind of a similar picture with our attitudes and our actions. And so as we embrace that spiritual discipline of celebration more, I can't help but to think about the possibilities of just being a faithful people, faithfully devoted to God who is faithful, and celebrating not only His faithfulness, but the fruits of that faithfulness at work in our lives. And again, this relationship and the whole reason we're having this time together between our churches is a celebration of God's faithfulness worked through us as His faithful followers. And so, let's be a church that celebrates God's faithfulness more and more for His glory. And Keith is going to close out our time here.
Yeah. There would be something that's really missed if we didn't do this as a church, even if we're just like in a small, limited way doing this digital version of coming together and being reminded of God's faithfulness. There would be something that's really missed. I think we lean into the heavy, intense seasons of wanting to pray with each other and bear one another's burdens. But that idea of celebrating together is seen so often as optional. And we just don't see that in the Scriptures. You know, that Chris just mentioned Matthew 25, verse 21, and the last sentence there is, "Come and share in your master's happiness." Those words are so full of celebration. Come and share in the happiness. We are allowed to share in happiness. And it doesn't mean that we have to deny the fact that life is hard sometimes. In fact, we are called to do that because life is hard sometimes. And God gives us such good gifts that even in the midst of hardship, we can genuinely celebrate. We miss an opportunity for joy, and we miss an opportunity to actually proclaim the good news if we don't celebrate well. and if we don't celebrate frequently, I think is the other thing. we are surrounded in the scriptures by stories over and over and over again of people partying. So in Luke 15, there's this triad story about the lost son, the lost sheep, and the lost coin. And at the end of each one, there is this amazing celebration because someone has experienced the goodness of God and turned back to Jesus, or turned back to the Father in this case. And there's this, a huge party. Jesus is always at a party. I joke around about the fact that Jesus eats in the Gospels more than Brad Pitt eats in his movies. And it's unbelievable to see that Jesus always seems to be a part of a party. The story of John begins at a wedding celebration. So the whole point is that there is a season coming in Christ that is a season of joy and celebration. And we are allowed and called and even, how about this, required to party well as Christians, as Jesus people. We should throw a party anytime when someone chooses Jesus. We should throw a party anytime when scarcity becomes abundance. We should throw a party anytime when we look back and notice God's faithfulness in that, in any way. We should throw a party when we're able to participate in God's faithfulness and love and care for others. We have a practice here that we call Story Space every week, where we tell stories that hopefully add to celebrating what God's doing. We try to call our gatherings, mostly just because we like to be a little weird, but we call our gatherings celebration gatherings. We don't talk about it in the church services, because hopefully the end goal is that we are celebrating what God has done. We've got to learn how to party. So everybody hears this, right? You are being given permission to party more and better than you have.
You guys clapping over there? That's great. Come on, folks. Get the energy here. She showed us up.
Your church likes to party more than mine.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so let's not shy away from that. So we want to give kind of a final encouragement to think on and chew on, and then Chris is going to offer prayer for us as we wrap up this time together. The questions that we want you to be reflecting on this morning in hopefully a really meaningful way. The first one is, where can we notice God's faithfulness and celebrate well? It's a pretty simple question. Where can we notice God's faithfulness and celebrate it really well? Okay? And then the second question is, where can we participate in God's faithfulness to others? We are invited into the process of revealing God's faithfulness by consistent loving compassion. So where can we participate in God's faithfulness to others? Where can we notice God's faithfulness and celebrate well? And where can we participate in God's faithfulness to others? So Chris, before you close us in prayer, I want to just show you our community here, and we're just going to say thank you to the compassion that Millersville showed us when there were four of us at LifePath. And as it just continues to develop, we got to see what the body of Christ does and can be because you displayed the body of Christ to us as a church and showed what that looks like in a parent, friend, planter, whatever role you want to look at, you helped us get there. So here's our community. They're there. Thank you. And so that's our big thank you in a very genuine, honest way for the way that you've embodied Christ to us. Hey, Millersville.
I recognize some faces in there. Good to see you all.
Heavenly Father, you are so good. You are not an angry God, but you are our good, good Father. And you are faithful. And because you are faithful, we can be your faithful children. Because your Holy Spirit indwells us and guides us, Father, I pray that your faithfulness and celebrating you and your goodness would just be imprinted upon our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, what a joy to worship together with LifePath in Newark, Delaware this morning. Thank you that your church does not know any geographical boundaries, but it's universal. We just praise you for your faithfulness to Keith and his family and the family that is LifePath Church. And we just want to lift them up to you again. And we just praise you for how you've been with them over these years and how you've built them into the body of believers that they are today. And we trust in faith that you have great plans for them to reach that area, to have kingdom impact with the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ for the sake of your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that although this partnership has come to an official end, Lord, we are still part of your same kingdom, still part of your same body rooted in Jesus Christ, and that will never end. And so we just celebrate LifePath today. We celebrate how you have worked among both of our churches to get to this point today. We celebrate the faithfulness that is yours and that we can embrace as your followers. Father, thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, blessings, LifePath. Blessings, Keith. Thanks for doing this, guys.
It's been great to be able to join in at the perfect time where our gatherings overlap, right?
Yeah.
You're getting to wrap up and we're getting ready to worship.
Very good. Well,
All right.
May the Lord bless you guys.
Likewise, take care of you.
All right. Well, that was fun. Do you have a final song for us, Jason? All right. Jason's going to come and close our time out together. Right? What in your life is worth celebrating? Where can I or where can we participate in God's faithfulness to others? I love how Keith said, I'm going to paraphrase it, Christians are the best partiers because we celebrate. And there's a lot to celebrate. Let's focus on that. Thank you, church. Go in the grace, love, and mercy of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and celebrate His faithfulness. Go in that. Amen.